You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com. Offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
At home, and welcome. This is another episode of To The Journey.
To the journey!
I am Charlene Schmidt, and with me as always is
Tristan Riddell.
And we are here to talk Voyager, as we are every week. This week, I know that we always say that we're excited about the topic, but this is going to be a fun one. And I've been having a good time compiling my list of one memorable one-liners from Voyager, which is our topic this week. And so, you know, what could be funner than this? Because Voyager, I think, had some fantastic one-liners. I mean, I could have come up with one-liners, like a list of one-liners for every character of the show, to be quite frank.
See, that's the thing, is that it's so hard to do this because we love Voyager so much, and the beauty of Star Trek, and not just Voyager, but all of Star Trek, is that they're known for the one-liners across all series and movies. And it's just, there's so many catchy ones. There's like a lot of good dramatic ones, a whole lot of funny ones. And
it's hard to pick
just five. So like from my list, like this is some of my favorites. This is definitely not my top five favorites because there's no way I can do that.
Okay, I'm glad you're going that route because, frankly, so am I. There is absolutely no way I could limit it down to just top five. No, there's at least a top 20 from Voyager alone, much less the rest of Star Trek. I mean, good God. Yeah, the Voyager writers have had a nice little history of good one-liners, fancy comebacks, and just general good-natured fun. So, you know what? Let's just dive right in because I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of one-liners coming up. We're just going to go through them and go through them and go through them. Kick us off with a really good one. What is one of your absolute favorites?
Well, one of my absolute favorites, and I think this is one we've talked about before, and I definitely know that it's one of yours, so I took that risk of picking one that was going to be on your list. And
oh, do it.
It's from Elogium, Season 2, Episode 4, and it's the episode where they find this disturbance and it's creating havoc on the ship, mainly within Kes. It's the one where she has a false pregnancy scare, or I don't know what you would call it, because it's
right.
A pre-pregnancy scare. Yeah, like and then what? I can't remember exactly what's happening outside. Like there's this cloud of
The space sperm.
Yeah, the space sperm. Yeah, like those things floating around and everything. Mm-hmm. They're attracted to Voyager, and
yes,
but then they find a way to repel them, and Tuvok says,
"It appears we have lost our sex appeal, Captain."
Yeah, okay. This was on my list too.
Yeah, that is a line that is just, it's just funny because it comes from Tuvok, and it's Tuvok talking about sex appeal, and sex in Star Trek is always kind of weird. Like it's never, I mean, I love Star Trek, and I think it can be romantic, but there are certain times when they try to do sexy, and it just comes off as, eh.
Yeah, so, no, I think Star Trek in general does not handle sex very well. It has a very adolescent attitude about sex. This is a great one-liner, like, this is a springboard for several one-liners just right off the bat right here. It can make me think of so many. This, of course, made my list, and I love Tuvok one-liners because of the dry delivery. I mean, it's just perfect. And this makes me think of season 3 in Blood Fever, where the doctor says, you know, for a highly evolved race, Vulcans have a very Victorian attitude about sex.
Yeah.
So for the fact that Tuvok actually says this, and in the straight-laced way that he does, of course it's got to be on this show. Of course it does.
Yeah, like you said, his dry delivery is fantastic, and I feel like Vulcans get most of the funny one-liners because of that dry delivery. Like, the writers know, okay, well, they're going to deliver it this way, so I know how to write it.
It's true. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Because it's certainly not limited just to Tuvok. Spock had a share, especially, I'm thinking, Star Trek IV immediately.
Yeah, especially in the movies. Metaphors. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or Go to Hell in Star Trek VI. But T'Pol had her share, too, and... You know, we could discuss all of that too, but I mean, Voyager alone, we're going to explode with one-liners here, so we'd better stay on topic.
Well, like one last Tuvok one that's popping into my head is when he says, when he blows out his birthday candles and he's like, it was a fire hazard.
Yeah, right. It's stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where, like, okay, if Janeway or if Harry Kim had said it, it wouldn't have been nearly as cute or funny.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's your number one?
Well, okay, again, this is not a number one. This is just the first thing that's going to pop into my mind. And this is what I feel is one of the best all-time Voyager lines, for real. And that is Janeway saying to Harry at the end of Deadlock,
"This isn't really my ship, and you're not really my captain. And yet you are, and there's no difference. But I know there's a difference. Or is there? It's all a little weird."
"Mr. Kim, we're Starfleet officers. Weird is part of the job."
Yeah, I knew that was going to be your first one.
It's gotta be. It's just gotta be.
The thing that I remember most about that line is not even Voyager, not even specifically the show, but I think about the 25th anniversary special or the 30th anniversary special. I can't remember which one it was, of Star Trek, and it was on TV. And you and I have both seen it. And
oh, yeah, yeah. This was the 30th you're talking about.
The 30th, okay. I always get that confused with the 25th. So it's the 30th anniversary, and they do this montage of some of the coolest moments from Star Trek thus far. And it's just a really, really cool montage. And they end it with that line of Janeway to Kim saying, "Weird is part of the job."
Yes, they sure did. That's how good that line is.
Yeah. It's like, not only was it a great episode ender, it was a 30 years of Star Trek montage ender.
Right, right. That's pretty high up there. So yeah, of course, I'm going to start us off with that, because let's get the obvious out of the way and reflect on it and enjoy it. But I'm looking forward to what we're going to actually do more down the list. So let's keep going. What's your next one?
My next one, when I made this list, I tried not to think of the obvious ones like we did when we talked about like the funniest moments in Voyager, like, you know, things like that. And so I found one that I remembered in Revulsion. And Revulsion is the episode where you have the isomorphic projection. And he totally doesn't like organic life. He killed the crew. He tries to kill B'Elanna. And this is also the one where Tuvok is promoted to commander, lieutenant commander, which, from the epic mistake in season one where he already wasn't. Whatever, I'm not going to talk about it.
Right, which we were just talking about on Twitter with Rachel in St. Louis.
That's right. And
yes. Shout out.
There's a lot of Kim and Seven moments in this, and they find they find a node or something like that. I can't remember exactly what they find, but they need to get rid of it. And Harry's like, okay, what do we do?
How do we get it out of here?
I suggest a radical dislocation.
A what?
We need to pull it out.
And it was just so funny to hear her delivery on this, because, you know, there's so much of that in Star Trek where it's filled with so much unnecessary techno babble, and we're like a chair is not a chair, it's a sitting device. You know, like, no, it's a chair. You know, something like that. And so it was just that it just made me laugh so hard because she had to translate her Borgism.
Right. This is a very good one. I wouldn't have thought about this. It's not the most common one. So I'm glad you brought this up. This is a very good one. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this was the same episode where Harry totally denied Seven of Nine sex. Isn't it? Like where
I think so. Like,
where
really,
she's like,
Harry?
Are you in love with me? And he goes, no. He's like, so you wish to copulate? And he's like,
yeah, dude, we all know the truth.
Yeah, we all know the truth. The answer was yes, and yes, and you chickened out.
And he totally chickened out. Yeah, stole the words right out of my mouth. The damn fool, that's all I've got to say.
Damn fool.
Yeah, even Garrett Wong, I think, is sad that that didn't happen. Although, in you know what, in a recent convention with the two of them together, Jerry Ryan did say that Seven would have broken him.
And on Twitter just recently, just like last week, he said, he's like, what was he thinking? You know, like he was just...
To this day, he regrets it. Those darn writers, they prevented me from getting any.
Her, like, her handle was mentioned in the tweet, too, and it was just really funny to see that kind of interaction. All right, what's your second?
Okay, this is a more serious one, because I could have done funny ones straight through and still had more to go, but this is one I like. This is very definitive Captain Janeway right here. It's in the episode State of Flux, and Janeway says to Kola,
you know, I'm really easy to get along with most of the time. But I don't like bullies, and I don't like threats. And I don't like you, Kola.
Kola.
Kola, yeah. I like that. She stood up to him and showed him who's boss.
I could have made your list for you.
Is that on your list, too?
No, it's not on my list. I mean, I could have made it for you, as in, this is Char's list, and it would have been exactly
am I getting that predictable? Man.
Well, after 2 years of doing this, I feel like we know our talking points. But no,
it's
true. I love those Janeway moments when she's like, listen.
That was good. Keep going.
I don't know if I could do much more. It's just like, listen, Kala. It's no time's up.
Time's up.
No, it's not, but it is a good one.
It is a good one, yeah.
And especially, like, since Kazon hate women in charge, it's just that much better.
That's true. I wonder how the Ferengi would react to Janeway. I know we had two lame ones, you know, interact with Janeway, but I wonder what somebody from the Ferengi Alliance would actually...
I think they would just be wondering why she's wearing clothes. That would be the first question out of their mouths.
Now, what episode was this from again? Did you say that?
State of Flux.
State of Flux. That's right. That's a good episode.
It is. It's the one where Seska betrays everybody and we find out she's a Cardassian and she jumps ship over to the Kazon. Becomes the brains of that operation. So, what's your next one?
My next one is from Caretaker, episode 1 from season 1. Mm-hmm. And this is... It's not like I know that it's not exactly one line. Like, well, my previous one wasn't one line either. But this was between Chakotay and B'Elanna at the very end of the first episode, and it's when B'Elanna was still what Janeway would later refer to her as, that angry woman.
This is true from Shattered. Yeah.
From Shattered, that's right. This is when she decides not to go back to the Alpha Quadrant.
Who is she to be making these decisions for all of us?
She's the captain.
Yeah, love that.
Right then and there, you knew Chakotay was going to make a BAXO.
This is true, and this is, I would dare even say, when he starts falling in love with Captain Janeway.
This
is the road that
one.
Leads to the bathtub. From this point forward, he is just ever so slowly falling for her and the monkey.
For those of you who, like, for people who, like don't know the show as well as us or are still going, like, leads to the bathtub, people kind of go, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately, there isn't quite the bathtub scene you might be imagining.
Right.
Let's just put it that way.
That all of us hoped for. Or at least Char and I hoped for.
Well, yes. No, stupid monkeys. I know you love the monkey, Tristan, but damn him. Yeah. Ruined
just,
it.
Just got in the way.
Yeah. Yeah, this is true.
All okay. Right, what's your number three?
You know, I'm going to go with the Chakotay one, because we are talking a little bit about Chakotay, and I'm going to stick with the same episode, State of Flux, where he says, after a little meeting with Janeway and Tuvok, he says to Tuvok,
you were working for her, Seska was working for them. Was anyone on board that ship working for me?
Poor Chakotay!
Yeah, it would feel that way. I mean, I would start questioning my extra sense or like my gut feelings. You know, I would start double guessing myself on that too, or second guessing
all the time. Yeah, from this point forward, Chakotay should have had absolutely no confidence in his instincts, none.
It should shake him to the core, because this is somebody trusted, someone that he had feelings for at least a while ago, and then they just straight up betray you and lied about their entire existence, or at least what you knew of it. And then he's still able to kind of have a lighthearted joke at the end of it.
Right. Yeah, that's I don't know. I think this is a easy one to overlook, but also a pretty darn good one, if I do say so myself.
No, I think so, too. Yeah. I forgot about that one. That would have gone on my list if I remembered it.
Well, there we go. I took care of it. So, that said, what's your next one?
My next one is from episode 702, Imperfection. It's the one where Seven has a node that's failing in her head, and she's going to die without a new one, and so they try to go through and find some dead Borgs in order to get a new one, and then Icheb takes it out or disengages it in his own head because he's young enough to adapt, but they're not quite sure, and it's a really heated exchange in sickbay, and the doc just doesn't know what to do because Seven won't take it, and Icheb won't let him turn it back on because he refuses medical help, which is his right.
This debate is pointless. I won't accept the node,
and I won't keep it.
Someone had better use the damn thing. If it stays disconnected much longer, it won't do either of you any good.
And it was just so funny to hear the doc swear. Now, granted, it's just a damn, but it just doesn't happen that often from the medical hologram.
Right, yes. He doesn't lose it very often.
Yeah, he doesn't lose it very often. I mean, but when he loses it, he really loses it. Like, goes insane for a whole episode where people have to counsel him in the holodeck. But there are times when he gets
true.
A little miffed. And I remember watching this with my parents, and both of my parents just absolutely lost it because they just didn't expect that to come out of his mouth. I didn't expect him to react that way.
Yeah, but you know what? It got the job done.
Yeah.
Of all the times for him to boil over, this was a very good time for it to happen. I'm glad he did. It was a smart use of it.
Well, just think about the situation. I mean, like, he has to save somebody, and both are denying medical attention.
Yeah.
And, like, this device is going to save either one of them or both of them. And it's kind of like, you know, like being a lawyer and having your client never take your advice.
I imagine that's how it's got to feel, right?
Yeah, it's just like, fine, do what you want, whatever.
Just, yeah, rage quit.
Yeah.
That, yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I think my next one is going to come from an episode that has tons of funny one-liners, but I'm going to try to be a little different. I want to see if this made the list that you would have made for me, okay?
I have a guess. Do you want me to give it before or after you give yours?
Go ahead and give it a guess. Just
okay.
Do it.
I'm going to guess it's from Death Wish.
Nope.
No? Okay, damn. it was going to be the Ship of the Valkyries one.
No, actually, I did not put that on the list. I do have a Death Wish quote, but this is not the one that I'm about to reveal, and it's not that one.
Okay, all right. Well, then proceed.
Okay, so season 3, Future's End, and it's where Janeway is saying...
Time travel. Since my first day on the job as a Starfleet captain, I swore I'd never let myself get caught in one of these godforsaken paradoxes. The future is the past is the future. It all gives me a headache.
And I love that, because I would probably feel the same way. And in fact, I've said as much on the Ready Room when we discussed some episode about time travel. Might have been Relativity. It was a few weeks ago. I can't remember what I did yesterday, so that was, you know, infinitely lost in the cosmos there. I think if I were a Starfleet captain and had to deal with the strangeness of time travel and all that it can imply, ugh, it would make me nauseous. That's a level of responsibility I never want to have. So I'm completely with Captain Janeway on this one.
There are so many great one-liners in Future's End, and like Tom calling Tuvok a freakosaurus.
That's one.
The doctor saying, I am now footloose and fancy free.
There's two.
Yeah, he also says divine intervention is highly unlikely.
Yeah, there's three.
What's some other ones?
I love the Rainn Robinson lines. Like when she says to Tuvok, what is that thing in your pants?
Like, excuse me?
Right, right.
And I think there was one moment when Janeway's like, I have a ship in orbit that can incinerate this entire building.
That's right. And you along with it, if like, necessary.
It's like, Captain, you have some cojones.
Yeah. Mm. You're darn right. Our captain is badass.
Yeah, there's so many great one-liners in that two-parter.
Right, yeah. Well, Catherine, you got us home. I mean, yeah, we could just do the whole episode on Future's End one-liners, I think.
We probably could just go back and forth, yeah.
We could. Let's not say we did, though. What's your next pick?
My next and last pick is a... it's actually a tie. I know I'm cheating, but it's both from the same episode. It's from Parturition, which is season 2, episode 7.
Spaghetti fight!
Yeah, it's the spaghetti fight one. It's the one where Tom and Neelix are not getting along, and the green-eyed monster makes an appearance, and they get stranded on a planet together. The first one is the Doctor to Janeway.
I am a doctor, not a voyeur.
One of the many "I'm a doctor, not a" lines.
And I just love how he hits the line more than anything.
It's true, it's true. He delivers it in this very particularly brilliant way.
Yeah, and you can always count on the doc to deliver the line in the best possible way. And as you said, it was the first of many "I'm a doctor" moments. And I love that they continue that tradition throughout Star Trek.
Yeah, especially since the EMH is supposed to be this compilation of all the finest doctors that have ever lived, practically. So of course he's going to have some of Dr. Bones McCoy in him. Of course he is. So this, yeah, very good, very good.
And then I had, for my second one, which I know, like I said, I'm cheating just a little bit, but it's from the same episode. It's where they're trying to get off the planet. Neelix and Tom has made amends, and they took care of this baby alien, and they're waiting for the mom to come back. And Paris calls Voyager and says,
"Lock on to us, Voyager. If you hear muffled screams, consider that a request for a beam out."
I forgot about that line. That is pretty good.
Yeah, Tom, I think Tom gets looked over a lot for some of the best one-liners. Because, you know, we go to 7, especially in season 7. We have the Doc, and we have Tuvok and Neelix. But Tom is, I think Tom is the, like, is that realistic funny guy. Like, he's the guy in that you could see existing in real life where you'd be like, I want to hang around him. He makes me laugh.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think of all the people on the Voyager crew, he would be one of the people that you'd make friends with the fastest.
Yeah.
Because he's personable and sociable, but he's also fun. He's just that kind of down-to-earth, just genuinely good guy.
Genuinely good guy, absolutely.
Yeah. Which, okay, now I'm debating what I want to do for a last pick, because I could go with a really good Tom line, or I could go with a really good Doctor line. Oh, let's flip a coin and see what happens. All right, heads up is Tom, tails is the Doctor. And it's heads up. Okay, so we're going with the Tom line, and it's going to come from, guess it?
It's from Death Wish.
Nope. No, actually, I have no idea. That'll have to be, I suppose, an honorable mention. It's going to come from Bride of Chaotica.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, I should have guessed.
So which of the lines do you suppose it's going to be?
I would say you're the queen.
Thanks for the briefing.
See you at the Fortress of Doom. And remember, you're the queen.
Ow, stumped you.
Or is it the one where he's like,
transdimensional aliens have mistaken your Captain Proton simulation for reality.
Yes, ma'am.
And now an armed conflict has broken out between these aliens and Chaotica's holographic army.
Yes, ma'am. His army of evil.
His army of evil.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. Although, you're the queen. Those are both so darn good. I said, 5 is not nearly enough. This is, I think, one of his best delivered lines in the whole series.
Yes, yeah, because like the and remember, you're the queen is really cheesy, very over the top, but the whole like army of evil line is very subtle and very cool, and it's just the key is in the delivery, not so much the line.
It is. Yeah, it's like fall off of your chair funny though too at the same time. So this time that one wins. I'm going to go with that because it is that good, but gosh, oh, this has been so tough trying to stay limited.
Well, I mean, that's the end of our picks. Do you have any, honorable mentions that you need to let the public know before we go?
How much time have you got?
Oh, we got a few minutes, I think.
Oh, I could go more than a few minutes, but I think one that I really do need to get out there is from The Cloud. Janeway says to Neelix,
"Is that final?
Dismissed. That's a Starfleet expression for get out."
Because that's a great line. How about you? Have you got any that you just have to say?
There's tons of great ones. And, I don't have any off the top of my head. I mean, maybe Janeway, when she's on Excelsior with Tuvok and she goes, never brought me tea. I think that might be my honorable mention.
All right, but one-liners aren't the only thing that we've been talking about here on Trek FM this week, and so here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
They look at the original series episodes, and they see thematically what it is that works, and they pick that in order to explore, like, a different side of it.
Earl Grey.
No, do you guys seriously not know why they have red and green lights?
No. Not all of us have read Ships of the Line.
Okay, no.
Wait, is this in Ships of the Line? I'm only in, like, chapter one.
No, I'm talking about, like, real ships today.
Have you been on a ship, Darren?
The Orb.
Them being adversarial, I don't think necessarily was the only way they could have gone. It makes for a great story, but it just made me wonder, just in a possible universe, what would have happened.
I think it's important, though, that she, as the religious leader, is not sold on the idea that this outsider is their emissary.
To the journey!
Endgame cannot make my list.
I don't have as much hatred for Endgame as you or apparently everybody else does.
Oh, not that I'm bitter or anything, no.
Warp 5.
So I would argue in the case of what Paxton is doing here in firing a weapon at San Francisco, which luckily missed and went into the bay, and I don't know if, I guess George and Gracie aren't there right in the 22nd century, so they're okay, but...
The Ready Room.
They could have really diverged with what we knew of Will and made Thomas's own unique character. I mean, he is, but, like, if we can get multiple Burial episodes, why can't Thomas Riker have more than one episode?
Mission Log, a Roddenberry Star Trek podcast.
And he happens to figure it all out. Yeah, that's enough to drive an audience.
We need to get Will Wheaton on the show because I will defend Wesley in this episode against the guy who played Wesley.
Okay.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
There was an interview, I think, with JJ where they were talking to him and he was saying that, you know, oh, my dad was friends with Nicholas Meyer back in the day. I remember going to Meyer's house when I was a kid.
And he had a whole bunch of really cool things in his house, and I thought, I would like to break some of these.
Literary Treks.
But I do like,
I
want to
see Spock with a perm.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I think I've got a Photoshop project in my future with this cover right here.
Melodic Treks.
It's like, oh, this happened! Oh, this is so good! It was!
That's no
it was
joke.
Just
that is
amazing!
How she reacts. And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We're available on virtually any platform you can possibly get a podcast on these days. And if we would love your support. If you haven't checked out patreon.com/trekfm, there are a lot of ways that you can get in on the action and help support us, keep these shows coming to you. But there's also some things in it for you. So if you haven't gone there, check that out. See what you can get. And we would definitely appreciate a donation if you're so inclined. None of our shows would be possible without the help of our sponsors. And so let's hear a little bit about that.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
Alright, so before we go, we have a few reviews to go over because we've got some new stuff in iTunes as well as Stitcher. Yes, Tristan?
Yes, and I cannot remember for the life of me if we talked about this review before because I don't check Stitcher as much as I should.
It's okay, me too. Guilty as charged.
So if you put something on Stitcher or you give us an iTunes review or whether it's outside of the U.S., in the U.S., or... on TuneIn, Swell, Spreaker, Libsyn, whatever.
All the platforms.
Yeah, like send us an email to make sure that we give you a shout out. So this person is calf_goodness, and they gave us a very nice review. And they talked about how they love to binge listen to Trek FM and To the Journey. And so if we talked about you before, thanks twice.
Yeah, totally. And we've enjoyed talking with this person on Twitter, which is something that you are all invited to do. We love talking with listeners on that platform. You can find me at Oh the Profanity. And Tristan, where can everybody find you?
At The Insane Robin.
All right. Well, we also have an iTunes review that we need to talk about. And this is written by Beliso1. This person gave us 5 stars and wrote us a review. And this was in light of our appearance on Melodic Treks, saying, I want the promises that they made on that show, and they being Charlene and Tristan, us, a reality. Want to hear them sing, because we did promise after so many reviews that we would sing a little something.
Yes, for those of you who don't listen to Melodic Treks, I was wondering if you were going to bring this up or not, if we wanted to talk about it on our show, but we did this thing
we better.
Where if we got 10 reviews collected together with including Melodic Treks as well as To the Journey anywhere, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher or wherever, giving us a 5-star review and then saying we want Tristan and Char to sing, then we will. If we get 10 to make me sing and 15 to make me sing and Char sing.
That's right. So the numbers are starting to go up ever so slightly. I'm a little bit scared at this point. But then you know what? As much as I appreciate the reviews, you're totally going to get what you're asking for. Now, next week, what are we doing?
Next week, we're doing something that we absolutely need to continue, and sadly is the end of a series, and we're doing our top 5 episodes from season 7 that we would like to marathon. And it's not our favorite episodes from season 7, it's not the best episodes from season 7, it's what Char and I think would make a great 5-episode marathon on a lazy Sunday afternoon.
That is what we're going to do next week, and until then, everybody, this has been To the Journey. To the Journey!